Officials at Landstuhl Medical Center in Germany say freed prisoner of war Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is in stable condition but requires hospital care after being held for 5 years by the Taliban. As you've no doubt heard, he was freed in a deal struck by the government of Qatar for five Taliban detainees at Guantanamo Bay. They're required to stay in Qatar but have been seen in pictures in joyous reunions with loved ones. What might Bo Bergdahl's homecoming be like? His hometown in Idaho never took down the yellow ribbons that were put up in his honor. They were planning an annual remembrance that will go on, but now as a celebration of his release. His father grew a beard and began dressing like the Taliban, stayed on Afghan time just to feel closer to his son. David Rode knows a little bit about what all are going through. He's the former New York Times journalist held captive by the Taliban in Pakistan for 7 months. He was not freed. He escaped. He writes now for Reuters and is author of the book Beyond War, Reimagining American Influence in a New Middle East, and joins us now. We want to spend a few minutes with David Rode. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And your first thoughts this weekend when you heard that Bo Bergdahl had been freed?
Joy. I've been in touch with his parents for the last several years, and you know, none of us frankly thought this day would ever come.
Yeah. What did they ask you? What did they want to know from you?
I primarily met them first just to sort of show them that you can survive this. You can, you know, have a life afterwards. And let me say first at the onset, that's a little presumptuous at my part. Because when I met them, the case hadn't dragged on so long. Mm. I was held for 7 months by the Taliban. That's one-tenth of the time Bo spent in captivity. So I'm not at all trying to minimize what he's been through.
Well, also,
but it helped me to – I'm sorry. I just tried to say, you know, I was treated – they kept me alive because they wanted to trade me. They'll keep him alive and you know, someday, hopefully, he'll be home.
So you were able to say that to his parents. But again, as I know you'd want to say, you were not military. You were media. You were going to do, you were trying to track down a Taliban leader to do an interview with them. You were not tracking them down as U.S. military. And as we said, you weren't freed, you escaped. So a lot of differences. But again, you were held captive. What was that like for you, given that you seemed to understand, or maybe did you understand at the time that you were being held to trade and that you would not die, or did you think you would die?
You're worried about being killed in the very beginning of the kidnapping, and then it becomes very clear, and in both cases they immediately took me and Bo out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, and it's a theme that we've all heard about for the last 12 years, but the Taliban have this safe haven in Pakistan. That's why they were able to hold Bo Bergdahl for 5 years, and there's a big question about why the Pakistani military couldn't find him or didn't try to find him. This deal happened because the Taliban can hold hostages in Pakistan. And once I got into Pakistan, it was a different, very stark reality that maybe they're going to hold me for years. It isn't that they're going to kill me. They're going to sort of keep me alive as long as they want to get what they want.
And we talked when you came back about just the sheer mental torture that can be, not knowing. You told us that there were good guys and bad guys, sort of a good cop, bad cop that you tried to figure out. There were times when you were trying to sing songs with the Taliban, trying to explain to them songs like the Beatles' She Loves You. Trying to do what?
You try to humanize yourself. You try to form a bond with these young men who are your guards. Again, I was lucky because I had this courageous Afghan journalist who was kidnapped with me, and he eventually helped me escape. Mm-hmm. So he and I constantly spoke in English, and it was like a separate kind of support system I had. You know, Bo has not been around an English speaker in 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, his father has mentioned that he's, you know, having difficulty with English now. Apparently, there were some American contractors held by FARC guerrillas in Colombia for several years. They had difficulty speaking English as well when they came home. He bonded, you know, as best he could, I assume, with these young guards. So did I.
You learned Pashto, too. You learned Pashto, too.
I did. Not as well as, yes. Mm. And obviously not through as well as he did in 5 years. But this is the world he, you know, has had to survive in.
Yeah. Well, as you well know, you've been following this story. There is a question as to why Bo Bergdahl was even captured, that he may have deserted, gone AWOL. On his unit's Facebook page, people are being vicious about this, enraged that he might have gone AWOL, but also they claim troops were killed looking for him. We know that there are lawmakers who might have been joyous at his being freed, but are concerned about this, this perception of negotiating with terrorists, and that it may lead to more U.S. soldiers being snatched. Your thoughts about this sort of second day, as the jubilation is somewhat wearing off for some. Your thoughts about these questions, even about Bo Bergdahl.
First, in terms of what happened and did he leave the base? His parents don't know what happened, and let's say he did make a mistake and he went off that base on his own volition. There's a small chance that maybe he was tricked by Afghans to go into a nearby town. No one knows what Bo knows. So arguably he may have made a terrible mistake. He's paid an enormous price for that through the last 5 years, and we should, I think, wait to hear from him what happened and why he did that. In terms of the agreement and the release of the Taliban prisoners, we seem to have decided as a country that we're ending the war in Afghanistan. We're pulling all American troops out of Afghanistan. There's concerns that these commanders, when they're released, could harm American soldiers. If they're held in Qatar for a year, there'll be very little overlap. I mean, if we are ending the war in Afghanistan, you have a prisoner exchange, is one of the rationales for what's happened. So, it's a very complex situation, but I just think if we're going to leave Afghanistan, do you leave him there? And do you hold these Taliban commanders who've been in Guantanamo Bay for 12 years, do we just continue holding them forever when we're no longer at war in Afghanistan?
Yeah. Well, and the others have questioned comments that Bo Bergdahl made in videos, emails said to be from him, about the U.S. and about the effort in Afghanistan. It's interesting. You were working on a book about what you saw as a failed effort there. That criticism that there was something, his family has rushed to say, others have rushed to say, he was under stress, he was under duress. Of course he's going to say what they wanted to say. Your thoughts about that?
I met many soldiers who were really frustrated with how the war was waged in Afghanistan. It was a very inconsistent effort. We kind of came in there and were very committed to, toppling the Taliban and creating a new Afghanistan in 2001 and 2002, and then we shifted to Iraq. There was a surge again under President Obama, but it was a sort of frustrating and somewhat erratic American effort. He's free to express his frustrations. The whole issue is, why did he leave the base?
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know if his frustrations led him to leave the base or something else.
Well, we just got about a minute and a half left, but you've said that you thought that crying and showing humility would be a good thing to demonstrate to the Taliban, but in fact it backfired.
Yes, and I'm sorry. I thought there were some emails he'd sent his parents before he was captured. Anything he said after he was taken in captivity should be completely ignored. It's a total statement on duress. I had machine guns, pointed at my head. You're making this sort of video you hope people understand is completely under duress. So I don't hold any of his statements that he made in Taliban videos to be truthful. I don't think that's fair to him.
And David Rode, I know in the few seconds we have, you want to remind us that there are other captives, Warren Weinstein in Pakistan, a 72-year-old aid worker, Jim Foley, Austin Tice, reporters in Syria. There's more to think about.
There is, and there's no unified approach to this by different countries. Yeah. Israel traded 1,000 prisoners for one soldier a few years ago.
Yeah.
European governments, particularly France, they pay ransoms. The U.S. doesn't. We need to figure out how to deal with these kidnappings in a consistent
David Rode, thank you so much, former captain. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. In association with the BBC World Service, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.